This is Common Sense Radio. Straightforward and no excuses.
All right. Come on now.
This is the Steve Gruber Show.
Call me crazy.
Ooh, yeah.
What I said was perfectly right and spot on accurate.
Boy's got a mouth like a cannon, always shooting it all.
Stop. Yeah, stop. I mean, you're way off script.
Got it in me. Gonna quit until it all comes out.
Hey, boy.
Yeah, you know, it's not cynical, it's common sense.
Pay attention to me when I'm talking to you.
I'm gonna rock the nation.
Genuine, accountable, and raw. Here is Steve Gruber.
Welcome to it. It is Tuesday, Super Tuesday, part three, if you will. Maybe the most critical day in American politics, possibly in your lifetime. You know, I know it's not a presidential election today, but I want you to consider some facts. For the first time today, you get some winner-take-all primaries, two specifically that make a huge difference, Florida and Ohio. If Donald Trump takes both of these states, along with Missouri, Illinois, and North Carolina, he will be almost unstoppable on the way to the White House. If he were to lose Florida and Ohio, getting the 1,237 delegates needed to nominate before he got to the convention in Cleveland would be nearly impossible. If he splits, which is entirely possible today, takes Florida, where he is way ahead, and loses to John Kasich in Ohio, where they're running neck and neck, well, it makes it much more interesting as to whether or not he can get the 1,237. He could still get it. It would be difficult, but it does change the look of the race. You've got all of that going on, and here in Michigan, a tawdry sex scandal, a tawdry human trafficking scandal involving the longtime county prosecutor in the capital city, Inningham County. And that's where we'll start today. Shocking announcement. I mean, it was. Floored me when I heard this. Stuart Dennings III has been around since, you know, the 1990s, 97 he's been on the scene. 19 years he's been the prosecutor in Inningham County, in the capital city, the face of law enforcement for Lansing, really, and the surrounding areas oftentimes. But yesterday morning, about this time, he was arrested and charged with 15 counts, including a felony count of prostitution pandering for allegedly using his position as the prosecutor to coerce a woman into having sex for money, the woman that came to him in a child custody case. She came to him for help. He coerced her into having sex for money. In fact, Stuart Dennings III paid for sex hundreds of times, according to Attorney General Bill Schuette. The Attorney General's office was brought into it when Inningham County Sheriff Gene Rigglesworth, while investigating a human trafficking ring over the last couple of years, realized that one of the people involved, one of the longtime participants of the ring, was the county prosecutor. He said he had no place else to turn. In fact, he said he's known Stuart for a long time. We've done campaigning together. This was a huge betrayal of his trust, of his oath of office, his service to the people. So after the Attorney General's office got involved at the request of the Inningham County Sheriff's Office, along came the FBI. Dunning's facing up to 20 years in prison. Dunning's facing up to 20 years in prison if convicted. He was arraigned in several district courts Monday because his crimes cover three different counties, at least. During the arraignment, Dunning's attorney, G. Michael Hocking, told Magistrate Laura Millmore that the charges might be somewhat of a political case full of titillating-type accusations, but that his client was no threat to the community. He added that Dunning's had been aware of the investigation for weeks and hadn't fled or harassed witnesses, despite ample opportunity. First elected in 1996. He took office in 1997. And just to see how this was played out, Dunnings is a Democrat. Attorney Bill Schuette is a Republican, but the man that brought the case down on Dunnings' head, Gene Rigglesworth, is a longtime outspoken Democrat. He was released on $5,000 personal reconnaissance bond. With cuffed hands partially concealed, the prosecutor appeared in an open shirt, sport coat. This is according to the Lansing State Journal in Lansing. His sister, Ingham County Circuit Court Administrator Shauna Dunnings, sat in the courtroom, and multiple court employees asked if she was okay, and some hugged her. Hocking refused to comment before or after the arraignment, but could be overheard in the hallway before the proceeding telling Shauna and the other court employees he felt Schuette's motivations were political in nature. We shall see. But the charges stem from a federal investigation. And we will be talking to the Attorney General later today. We'll get his reaction to the accusation that this is a political prosecution. And others, and in fact a couple that I talked to, so there's always been this idea that Dunnings' chatter, if you will, they called it chatter yesterday. There's been this whole notion that he was, it was his reputation. Let's put it that way. It was his reputation. Now, the reputation, does that mean you're guilty of anything? No. But it seems to me that this is a pretty, pretty powerful case. The felony, of course. Would mean Dunnings would be relieved of his pension. My understanding, he would be relieved of his pension. Now, this woman, the felony count, he apparently met at a diner. She apparently was a domestic violence victim. This took place all the way back in 2010. And that the father of her child had abused her. They met for lunch at a cafe in Lansing. Again, this is a quick note from the State Journal. According to the affidavit, Dunnings asked her to lunch a second time, and during that meeting told her he knew she was struggling financially and he was seeking a sexual relationship with her, and he'd be glad to pay her money in return. She said she was shocked, but eventually agreed, saying she had no other choice. And the two started an on-and-off commercial sex relationship that lasted more than a year. Dunnings paid the woman $600 every 2 weeks during the times they met for sex. He also provided her with gifts and paid some of her bills. In public, though, Dunnings had been an opponent of prostitution. And with an annual salary of just over $130,000, he is the highest paid elected official in Ingham County. It's the kind of tawdry case that'll get national headlines, make no mistake. So I bring it to your attention because it's not normal that the county prosecutor is charged with felonies and facing 20 years in prison if convicted. Again, Attorney General Bill Schuette joining us here in just a bit on the Steve Gruber Show. We'll sort that out with him. Coming up next, we'll talk more about today's big elections across the country and what it means going forward on the Steve Gruber Show.
The Steve Gruber Show, American Values with Midwestern Common Sense.
Tuesday, continuing down the trail here. Before we go too much farther, a judge's sentence that would have sent State Senator Virgil Smith to the Wayne County Jail for 10 months after an incident involving him shooting at his ex-wife may now be in jeopardy. So in the plea deal, the plea deal called for 10 months in jail, 5 years of probation. The 35-year-old Democratic senator from Detroit made this deal in the case. The senator pleaded guilty to malicious destruction of property. What's interesting about this is that he got off on a felony firearms charge. That almost never happens when a gun is discharged unlawfully toward another person or their car, for example. It's outrageous to begin with. The plea deal also included Smith's resignation from office. However, the judge in the case, throughout the resignation part of the deal. He said neither he nor the prosecutor can force Smith to resign. But this has outraged the prosecutor's office in Wayne County. This all happening yesterday. The prosecutor's office now deciding whether or not to withdraw the plea deal. The sentencing hearing has been adjourned until March the 28th while the prosecution decides what to do. The plea is legal and the defendant agreed to it. If all the conditions are not accepted by the court, we will withdraw our plea. We are certain that we stand on solid legal grounds, so said Prosecutor Kim Worthy. Now, Wayne County Circuit Judge Lawrence Talon said Smith could be expelled, voted out of office, or resigned, but requiring him to resign offends the state constitution and is contrary to public policy and compromises the integrity of the court. Here's a little bit of that conversation. Clip four, go.
The aspect of the plea which required him to resign from his office and not hold public office or appointed office during his probation offends the state constitution. It's contrary to public policy, compromises the integrity of this court. Therefore, it's void.
And there you have it. There's the judge speaking. That's Lawrence Talon, Judge Lawrence Talon. We'll see what happens there. Kim Worthy, she's going to pull that deal. She is going to pull that deal. Okay, so back to the math for today on Super Tuesday again. Here's something for you to think about. I want you to think about you. Of course, you're aware of what happened in Chicago on Friday with the thousands of protesters, disruptors, as Donald Trump calls them, descending on his gathering in Chicago, bringing it to a halt. Our little progressive fascist friends, you know, the privileged little friends stomping on free speech. Well, now one person, a person that's been on this program many times, is not seen in a good light by the Clintons and others, says, well, there's a lot more to this than you realize. Roger Stone, one of the most polarizing figures in Washington, he was a member of the Richard Nixon team, a very devious member, some would say. He is also a guy who has a solid track record of finding fingerprints on dirty deeds all over the nation's capital. In fact, he is one of the best at identifying those who are pulling the strings in political scams, even when it looks like someone else is holding the bag. He is great at finding the dirt that others have tried to keep hidden. He's been on this program several times, I mentioned. Now he says it is Hillary Clinton that is behind the protesters showing up at Donald Trump rallies and creating problems. In fact, Stone says it is all very calculated to destroy Trump. Appearing on the far-right radio program, The Alex Jones Show, which I don't put much stock in as a general rule, but because he's been here and I've talked to him, I decided to share this with you. Stone laid out the facts that he, as he understands them. I read them, and honestly, it makes a lot of sense. Here's part of the transcript of that program. I think everybody in the country has now heard about these violent protests at Trump rallies, which are being blamed on supporters of Bernie Sanders. This is a false flag. These demonstrators are flying under a false banner. They are not Sanders supporters, by and large. This is an operation directed by supporters of Hillary Clinton, paid for by George Soros and MoveOn.org, by David Brock at Media Matters for America, also funded by Soros, and also by the reclusive billionaire Jonathan Lewis. Now, Lewis was identified by the Miami New Times as a mystery man. He inherited roughly $1 billion from his father, Peter Lewis, founder of Progressive Insurance. Jonathan Lewis, interestingly, withdrew his support of the Democratic National Committee over the immigration bill that he thought was unfair to gays. In any event, this is a Hillary Clinton operation. The idea here, very clearly, is to divide the Sanders economic voters from Trump. In other words, those voters who lost their jobs because of NAFTA and all the other globalist international trade deals that have screwed this country, they now realize that these voters are potentially, when Sanders is out of the race, Trump voters. And this is an effort to make Trump toxic, to disqualify him as a racist, as a bigot. The whole thing is essentially a hoax. It's a gambit directed, by the way, by Brock. Brock, once a friend of mine, this is Roger Stone speaking again, and was a comrade in the fight for freedom, but he went over to the dark side with the Clintons for money. Big, big, big money. And this is, unfortunately, his little dirty trick. Unfortunately, they have leaks within their operation. My sources are of the very best. The entire collaboration in Chicago is a Hillary Clinton operation. And frankly, I can't see Bernie Sanders having anything to do with it. I don't agree with Bernie, but I respect him. And this is not his handiwork or the handiwork of his campaign. Funded by Soros, backed by Soros, to make Donald Trump toxic. We'll see how that works out. Mitt Romney, all over Ohio yesterday, campaigning on behalf of John Kasich. That may have turned Kasich toxic. Mitt Romney, after his, coming out and attacking Donald Trump, the frontrunner, not well respected in many circles, not respected by me anymore, I can tell you that. Nobody came out and threw you under the bus like that, Mitt Romney. No, nobody played those dirty tricks and those cards. And it makes you wonder, are they all in this together? I saw a picture of George W. Bush embracing Hillary Clinton at Nancy Reagan's funeral. And people said, look, it's bipartisanship. And I look at it and go, maybe it's worse than that. Maybe we're all screwed because they're all in it together and it's all a rigged game. Does that, ever occur to anybody? It occurs to me. Your comments, welcome in the conversation at 888-900-9966. We'll be right back on the Steve Gruber Show.
Michigan, born and raised with Midwestern values and Michigan common sense.
Tuesday here on the program, we're going to quickly go to the common sense hotline. Steve on the line today. Steve, welcome to the program.
Good morning, sir. To make a long story short, there's a real easy way for Donald Trump to handle this whole thing. And that is, he says out loud several times that he will denounce anybody that disrupts the other candidates' programs, and it will not be tolerated at his. Along with this, they should be doing facial recognition stuff. That way, you end any issues with repeat offenders.
Yeah, and I appreciate that. A bunch of people complain, well, how come they can shut down free speech of protesters? Well, under the law that predated Trump by, a long time, demonstrators like that cannot just appear at a place that's under control by the Secret Service. Steve, I got to run, but something to keep an eye on. And I agree. Trump should say it shouldn't be tolerated anywhere. So if you got your little fascist liberals that want to shut everybody down, they want their safe spaces and their opportunity to make sure that you can say anything you want, as long as you agree with them and parrot exactly what they tell you to say. Other than that, there is no tolerance, because it's newspeak in 1984 style, very well done, because it's intolerance in the name of tolerance. That's what it is. Our next guest, Christopher Harris, Executive Director of Unhyphenated America. Christopher, welcome to the program.
Hey, Steve. Good morning.
Glad to have you on board. Am I on the right track there? Is it intolerance in the name of tolerance? It's the strangest thing I've ever seen. These young people fomenting at the mouth and fomenting dissent and saying, we need, diversity and freedom of speech and da-da-da, but don't you dare say that, and I need a safe space. And if you say anything we don't like, we'll bring a mob and shut you down. It's crazy.
Steve, I'm actually speechless as I look at how these young people are acting today. I've said on many occasions, I've actually addressed the parents. I mean, I'm of an age now where I have a lot of my high school classmates who have kids of this age. And I'm like, listen, some of you somewhere are responsible for this, and your kids suck. I just told the point, but your kids suck. I'm like, where did you get this idea that it was okay to train your kids or let your kids believe these things? Because nobody believed these things when I was growing up. And I hate to sound like an old sweaty buddy, but I'm like, we didn't think like this.
How old are you?
I'm 43. All right. I'll be 43. So I'm like, it's like, suck it up, That's the thing where, if you fell down, you got a scratch, okay, whatever. We didn't ask to have a... I'm wondering, where do we turn to having playgrounds that everything has to be cushioned? God forbid our child fall down and get an owie.
Well, let's start with the basics, Christopher. Kids don't even want to go on the playground. They want to sit in their classroom and drool on their smart device, whatever that may be. So kids don't even get a chance to scrape their knees. But you're exactly right. Here's the problem. you know, the marketplace of ideas is supposed to be schools and universities and so forth. Now we have universities, you know, clamoring students there to have the professors thrown out. In fact, we're going to have a professor coming up on this program in the next couple of days who is an African-American woman at Vanderbilt University, grew up poor in Virginia with 12 siblings, and they want to throw her out because she doesn't understand diversity well enough. I'm like, my God, what has happened to these children?
I'm familiar with her. I can't remember her name, but I know who you're talking about. And, yeah, I actually have been lectured by white Democrats, and, you know, your listeners don't know this, but I have a permanent tan, right? You know, so I'm black. And I've been lectured by white Democrats about diversity, which is, you know, you kind of have the Scooby-Doo look on, you know, you go, what? You're telling me, I'm sorry, I need to be lectured about what it's like to be a minority in America. You know, but, you know, you got to wonder who's behind these people. And, you know, you hear the name George Soros thrown around all the time. A lot of your listeners, maybe they're aware of the Democracy Alliance or not, but, you know, it's that organization that's created to actually help back movements like Black Lives Matter and all the Wall Street and Occupy Wall Street, rather. And I always wonder, what is their long game behind this? I mean, they so far, I saw someone said they've donated upwards of $500 million towards these sorts of movements like Occupy Wall Street and
so what do you think? We're on the line here with Christopher Harris, Executive Director of Unhyphenated America. What do you think the end game is of George Soros then? And because I just did an article here where Roger Stone, an author that's been on this program a couple of times, he lays the whole thing with what happened at the Trump rally in Chicago and elsewhere, lays it entirely at George Soros' feet and at Hillary Clinton's feet. So they're working together to make Trump toxic, to make him a racist and a bigot in the eyes of voters who don't bother to learn the truth, and therefore make him unelectable because they're fearful of him winning.
Well, see, I want to go along with that, which I think there's some truth to that, but then there's the issue of these people have shown up at Hillary's events, and, you know, they took the microphone away from Bernie Sanders. You know, that's real presidential, by the way. It's like, yeah, we want to elect someone who's going to be commander-in-chief, and they're going to go ahead and go head-to-head with Vladimir Putin, but they got a bunch of punk 20-year-olds who take the microphone away from them at their own event. Yeah, it's like, that makes me feel real secure that this is the guy who's going to have his hand on the button.
Well, isn't it frightening that you know, these children, that these children of the parents that you say have failed us, you know, believe that it's the right thing to do to shut people down, that there is no dissent, that if they don't like the book you're reading, they'll burn it. If they don't like what you're saying, they'll have a mob surround you and beat you down verbally or physically in some cases. Talk about little fascist liberals. That's what they are, fascist little liberals. They, well, Donald Trump's a fascist. Donald Trump isn't shutting people down. That's what fascists do. They get rid of the books. They stifle your speech. They don't care about free speech or your freedom. Where am I going wrong here, Christopher?
Well, we're victims of our own success, Steve. At the end of the day, that leftist ideology is parasitical. You cannot take, like, you couldn't dump off a bunch of people in a deserted island and then come back and, hey, say, hey, you know what? We'll come back to check on you guys. You go ahead and create your own civilization. It wouldn't happen with leftist ideology. You have prosperity only comes from what we call conservative principles. And so the problem is that we fail to teach those principles to the next generation or to reinforce those principles of the next generation. So this kid generation of kids have grown up with nothing but prosperity and a lot of strength, and they've never known what it actually took to create that. And so they're bored, and they're petulant children, and that's just the really sad thing. We have failed our kids.
They are entitled. Petulant is the perfect word. Children, petulant little children, snot-nosed little fascist brats. That I've talked to a fair amount of them. That go to privileged schools and then decry the very mechanisms that allow their parents to send them to those privileged schools. It is baffling. Christopher Harris, I'll give you the last word.
Well, I think we need to be more concerned about about George Soros and other organizers. Try to figure out. I wish I could give you an answer as to what the long game is on this, other than the fact that we know George Soros likes to bring chaos and destruction. But How does he actually benefit in the long term? I don't know. I wish I could tell you. But we do know that there's somebody with deep pockets or people with deep pockets who are behind this. And we need to keep an eye on them.
Christopher Harris, you're right. We need to keep an eye on it and push back. Executive Director of Unhyphenated America. You can find him online, of course. Christopher, we'll talk sometime soon.
Thank you, Steve. Take care.
There you have it. Christopher Harris on the Steve Gruber Show. Straight ahead, Rick Ector. And a couple of your phone calls. It's Tuesday.
Delivering Michigan common sense with a big dose of truth and honesty.
All right, welcome back to it. Real quickly to the hotline. We've got Jim hanging on the line in East Lansing. Jim, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Steve. I just wanted to make a quick comment on what Christopher said about the fact that recognizing these kids are kids of people his age, and they're kids of people my age. I'm a little older, 54. And I want to kind of go back to high school and say, you know, what were you people thinking that your kids would act so privileged when none of us did in our generation at that point in our lives?
No, here's what happened. Jim, we let the hippies take over the classrooms. They took over the teacher's lounge, and they took over the classroom, and they taught their ideology. Even though it didn't work in the real world, they would sit around the teacher's lounge and fantasize about how the world could really be in utopia. And they fed this garbage into our kids' heads while we were at work, you see. While we were off working, they were feeding garbage into our kids' heads, indoctrinating them. At least that's my theory. And I appreciate you checking in. Jim, thank you. So yeah, it's a problem. They're petulant, indoctrinated fascists, and it's funny that they would refer to anybody else as a fascist, because conservatives are not running around trying to shut down Bernie Sanders get-togethers. Other fascists are. Other little liberals are trying to shut down Bernie Sanders events. Fascists are shutting down Donald Trump events. Conservatives aren't running around trying to silence what people have to say. 888-900-9966 is the number to call. 888-900-9966, the hotline number here. My next guest, one of my favorites, Rick Ector, National Rifle Association credentialed firearms trainer in Detroit. Legally Armed in Detroit, his group. Rick, welcome back to the program.
Hey, Steve, thanks for having me. Always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure to have you here too, my friend, because you bring, a certain level of civility and common sense to the program that I greatly appreciate. I see that Georgia has now passed a campus carry bill legalizing guns for those 21 years and older to be carried concealed, not in the open, very specific about that. Not sure the governor's going to sign it, but he may. And Georgia won't be the first place that that'll be true, but what do you make of it?
You know, I've always stipulated that your gun rights shouldn't evaporate or disappear just because you cross some imaginary border, whether it's one that separates states or one that separates a community from a college. You still have a person who has to meet whatever requirements that state imposes on people to actually exercise that right, whether, you know, it's on a college campus or if it's just out on a country road somewhere. So I think it's a great step. It's a great advance, and I hope the governor actually signs it.
You know, what's interesting is that if you look at some states with the least amount of gun laws, one state in particular comes to mind where you can carry a handgun wherever you go because there are no laws saying you can't do that. So basically, it's very free. And that state, believe it or not, is Vermont, Bernie Sanders' home state. Bernie Sanders, outspoken critic and anti-gun guy. And Vermont has very, very little gun crime. And it's been legal in Vermont to always carry a handgun. I mean, constitutional carry is what I'm driving at here, because there's a movement in Michigan toward constitutional carry where that card that you have in your pocket now, that CPL you have now, Rick, would no longer be necessary. What do you make of that?
I am a huge advocate of constitutional carry. You know, there's a current bill that's enrolled and it's been introduced already. There was a similar effort that got gamratted a little while back, but we hope to get a little more momentum this time. I don't think the governor is a big fan of it, but if we keep pursuing it, we will eventually get there. You made the mention that states that have the least amount of gun control usually have the least amount of crime. Well, The inverse is also true. The places that have the most gun laws on the books are probably some of the most dangerous places to live. So
there's no question about that. You know, you look at Chicago and you see what goes on there, and I don't mean with the nonsense last Friday. I mean with guns as a general rule. Chicago, a very dangerous place, as is Washington, D.C. or Cleveland. You go to the cities that have the strictest gun control, they have the most crime, which, you know, people, because ordinary citizens can't just protect themselves, because ordinary citizens will actually take a moment and say, well, I'd really like to protect myself, but if I buy this gun, if I get caught, man, I'm going to be in big trouble. You know, so right. Ordinary citizens actually think about the ramifications when criminals do not.
Yeah, it's time to just flip the whole situation. Let's have the bad guys in fear of actually attacking someone because they might be armed and might actually know how to use it. So, yeah, we definitely need to continue the trend. And, you know, what we'll find is that if we go to constitutional carry, we'll find that people will be, by and large, responsible. And more people will actually seek out the training even when it's not necessary.
Yeah, the training, and I think, you know, I can't force them to have the training, but I think that it makes a lot of sense. I mean, if you're going to operate a motor vehicle or something else that has a lot of responsibility with it, you might as well know all you can, my estimation. And I encourage people to get educated with guns. I can't, you know, say you have to, but I sure think it's a good idea.
And I think most reasonable and responsible people agree with you, Steve.
Well, there you go. Most reasonable and responsible people actually listen to the program. Yeah. A lot of truth to that, Rick. You know, I think you're right, though. I don't think the governor of this state is going to be signing that legislation, that into law. I don't think, you know, Rick Snyder's medium on guns at best. You know, he's signed a couple of things in favor of gun owners, a couple of things he has not signed or vetoed that went the other way. So, you know, it's a 50-50 toss at best, I'd say.
You know, you're a little more optimistic than I am. The things that he has signed pretty much didn't do a whole heck of a lot.
All right, I was.
You know,
right.
You got firearm owner privacy, which is was case law. The brandishing bill that the open carry guys wanted. You know, that all that did was just codify something that was, you know, basically an attorney general opinion. I think he's lukewarm on gun rights, man.
I think you're right. I think that's fair. And that's why I say he's medium lukewarm. I agree with you, Rick, and I. So I wouldn't be optimistic about this getting passed. But, hey, a great conversation. Always appreciate you stopping in. We'll talk soon.
Hey, I hope so, and I look forward to it.
There it is. Rick Ector, everybody, one of my heroes. National Rifle Association credentialed firearms trainer in the city of Detroit. Right here on the Steve Gruber Show. We'll be right back.